Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 47.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins, it's a current of love.
This week, we bring you our interview with one of the Blue Jays' latest minor league free agents, pitcher Gabe Noyhaus. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen, and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. Welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'm joined by newly signed Blue Jays pitcher, Gabe Noyhaus. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Gabe, I think a lot of people were really intrigued by your signing, and it's primarily because, you know, it sort of came out of nowhere, and seemingly since you've spent a few years away from the game, it kind of has come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your story and let the listeners get to know who you are and where you're coming from?
Sure. So I've always grown up loving baseball. I played baseball since I was five, you know, competitively played, you know, since I could walk, had a ball, bat in my hand, everything like that. So I've loved the game my entire life. Played in high school, had a pretty good successful high school career. Went to Bucknell, which is a small D1. Pitched there for played there my freshman year, and then was there my the fall of my sophomore year, and then I transferred to Misericordia for my sophomore season. Played there. Then that fall, I decided to step away from the game. Just some things in my life going on. Just wasn't happy with where I was at. And I felt like I needed to focus on some other things at that point in time. And at that time, I was, you know, I was a pretty good pitcher. I mean, I was only throwing mid to high 80s, touching 90-91 here and there. I was also a lot skinnier, not as strong as I am now. So I was only about 190 pounds. But I had some fairly good success. And then once I stepped away from the game, I fell in love with the weight room. Just love the lifestyle of, you know, pushing your body, you know, in and out of the gym, you know, in the gym with the weights and out of the gym with the diet and trying to constantly see progress. I just love putting in hard work in anything and then seeing the results of it. So I kind of got, you know, into that lifestyle, added a lot of weight, a lot of strength, good weight, I should say. And then 3 years later, this past, I believe it was May, late May or early June, my high school team, they needed someone to come throw to them before their state playoff game. You know, someone that threw relatively hard because they're going to face a pitcher going to a D1 school. He threw in the mid to high 80s, kind of like I did, and they knew that. So they called me up. It's like, yeah, sure. I don't know what's going on. Hadn't touched a baseball in about a year at this point. Went there, hit 91 pretty frequently a few times, and was around 88 to 89 very consistently without touching a baseball. So I was like, oh, wow. Like, I guess maybe the strength, you know, has, you know, given me some velocity because I hadn't even trained and I'm already back up to where I was or past where I was. So I was like, okay. And there's a Phillies tryout, open tryout coming up the following month in my hometown, Williamsport, because they have a single A team, the Crosscutters, here in my hometown. And so I threw a few times here and there. It's just very difficult to get consistent with it because a lot of people that I played with either don't live in the area anymore or have jobs and just can't do it. So I threw probably about four times. And then I went to that and threw 93, 94, which piqued their interest. You know, I got talked to the scouts over there, and they said, you know, you might hear back, you might not, you know, just the way things are, because they don't really realistically expect to sign anyone out of those things. So I was like, okay. But at that point, I was like, okay, I'm doing this. Like, it's the hardest I've ever thrown by far in my life. So then there's another Braves tryout, same kind of deal, open tryout a month later in Saratoga Springs, New York. So at that point, I was able to hook up with a kid that played on my high school team. He was getting ready to go. He plays at Shippensburg University. So I was able to throw with him about every single day, got my arm ready. And at the Braves tryout, I was up to 97. And again, they were interested in me. And they said, you might hear something, you might not. never heard anything. But at that point, you know, I was determined to try and make something out of this. So I told Matt Anderson, who happened to be my 7th grade basketball coach, and he also followed my high school and college career pretty closely. I told him what was going on, and he said, okay, well, I can have you come down here to Texas, because that's where he moved, to throw for me. So I go, okay, yeah. So then just let me figure out flights and all that kind of stuff. And he ended up having a high school prospect camp December 4th to the 6th in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So I went down to that. I just went to the last day on Sunday and just threw, you know, when they were done with their scrimmages and stuff, and was 95 to 98 consistently. And they offered me a contract. And when I prepared for that, I was only able to throw these basically sand-filled weighted balls against the wall in my gym's basement, because the kid that I was throwing with went away to school and didn't have anyone else. So I was very surprised that the velocity kind of carried over, even though I did my best at what I possibly could, you know, to prepare. And again, the weather was another challenge. I couldn't really even get outside because it was cold and wet and rainy. So I did what I, you know, could, prepare the best I possibly could, and end up throwing the best I've ever had, and was good enough to earn me a contract. So that's about where I'm at right now.
So there are a couple of questions that sort of come up from that. That, I mean, pretty amazing story, and it's sort of like, you know, the Disney's The Rookie,
mm-hmm.
Except you're not, you know, you haven't been out of the game for 10, 15
yeah.
years, and you're not, you know, 35.
Yeah.
But I think one of the main questions that comes out is, so you've been in contact with Matt Anderson, even though, you know, even after he was your coach.
Yeah, I mean, after he was my coach, when I was in high school, I mean, like I said, I was real skinny, but I was still, you know, throwing mid to upper 80s, touching 90-91, you know, a few times. I mean, I guess he probably saw potential in me for me to throw harder, you know, probably sooner than what I have. So he got me hooked up with the area code tryouts. I did that, and then, you know, he just kind of followed my high school career, came to a few games, and then Bucknell's about half hour down the road from me, so he came to a few of those games. He went to the pro day there, just things like that. But again, like, I didn't really flash anything at that point that would have warranted, you know, getting drafted or signed or anything like that.
You know, you transferred from Bucknell to Misericordia, and I know that a lot of players transfer for a number of reasons. You know, can you tell us what those reasons were in your case?
A few of them, just Bucknell is an amazing school. Like, the academics are second to none. I love the academics. But at the same time, it was just a school where I just didn't really feel like I fit in that well with the whole student body that went there. It just felt like it was a different atmosphere as opposed to what I was used to. I just didn't feel like I fit there, if that makes sense. And also, pitching, you know, that's what I'm best at. But I also love to hit. I love to play the field. And transferring to Misericordia allowed me to also play the field and pitch. And so those factors together, and then also at that point in time, I thought I was interested in going into more of like police work or trying to be an FBI agent, something like that. Misericordia had a new program, government law and national security program, that they're starting, and that interested me as well. And all those kind of factors together. Then it also helps that I have a lot of family and relatives from northeastern Pennsylvania, which is where Misericordia is located. So it's kind of like going back to a second home, going to Misericordia. So just all that kind of stuff together played into my decision. And obviously Misericordia being a D3, going from D1 to D3, you don't have to sit out a year, just kind of all seemed to work out well.
Right. And, you know, did you end up, finishing your degree or
mm-hmm.
making progress towards your degree?
Yep, I actually majored in government law and national security, like I said, and history. So I have two degrees. I graduated this past May with my degrees. So I'm very thankful and fortunate, you know, enough to have done that and don't have to worry about getting an undergrad degree now, whether I'm going to have to be concerned about it in the future or not. You know, it's done, and if I want to further my education, I can.
Well, congrats.
Thank you.
That's a big step,
mm-hmm.
and I know Marcus Stroman made a big deal out of
yeah.
going back to Duke while he was injured and finishing his degree, and it's definitely not something a lot of baseball players have a chance to go into a professional career with.
Yeah, for sure, yeah, because, I mean, anytime you're, like, you have professional potential, like, a lot of times I think it's very easy to just kind of just focus on that, which I can't blame anyone for, because, I mean, that's – it's something you should just definitely pursue. It just so happens with myself, and I guess in Marcus's case, that we were just the situation allowed for it to happen, you know, so to speak. So definitely very fortunate for that.
Now, the question sort of arises is, was there a reason that Matt Anderson was so quick to offer you a contract when some of the other teams you had tried out for may have been a little more hesitant?
I think when I was talking to him, he said he's always known me. He's always liked the way I throw the ball, the way my arm action works, and he's always liked my secondary offerings. And he said he always thought that I had a chance to throw hard. As in like low to mid 90s. He said he never thought I'd be a mid to upper 90s guy like I am now. But he always saw something in me. That's what he told me. So then I think when I went down there and putting together what he already knew about me, what he already knows about me with the higher velocity, I think that probably was just enough to send him over the edge.
And so what are your off-speed pitches like? What are you throwing?
I throw a knuckle curve. It's more of a 12-6 curveball. I don't really know the velocity right now outside my head. Didn't really go over that. The fastball kind of just outshined that. But generally, that was my best secondary offering. It's got late, sharp break. I also throw a circle changeup, which moves down and away to a lefty. Even at Misericordia, when I was real, real comfortable with it, I would throw it to right-handers, and they just were not used to that movement down and into them. Switch up the approach, you know, professional ball. But right now, those are my two main secondary offerings. I'd like to learn a cutter or slider or maybe even a split finger because I do have pretty big fingers. Something that's more hard, a harder breaking ball. I think I would like to add my repertoire, but right now it's just a knuckle curve and a changeup.
Okay. Do you expect to work out of the bullpen, or has anybody told you about a potential role for you?
Matt just said just go down to spring training, and whatever, however you perform, the club will kind of dictate, you know, whether I'm going to be a starting pitcher or reliever. I've always loved closing. That's just what I've always loved to do. But, I mean, if they want me to be a starter, I'll be a starter too. I mean, I just enjoy going out there and competing, whether it's, you know, the beginning of the game, you know, trying to compete the entire, you know, all nine innings, or whether it's coming at the last inning, competing, trying to get those final three outs. Whatever, you know, whatever the organization wants me to do, I'll do. But right now, it just is going to depend on, you know, my performance down at spring training.
And so, you know, how would you characterize your mindset going into, I guess, a pretty new situation for you?
I'm just excited. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, it's very easy to kind of be, I guess, probably a little nervous by this. It's I guess, kind of looking at it from the outside, it's a daunting task. I'm just excited for it. I mean, it's an opportunity in life. Like, I'm getting to play a game, the game that I love, you know, for a paycheck and, you know, further my career where a lot of people don't even get this opportunity. So I'm just going to take advantage of it, you know, just hit the ground running, just give it my best every single day and, you know, just hope for the, you know, hope it's good enough to earn a spot either, you know, in a bullpen or on a rotation, you know, somewhere in the minor leagues. And just, you know, give it my all and not be too concerned about what I can't control. I'm just going to focus on what I'm able to control myself. And that's really all I can do. So, I'm very, very excited for the opportunity.
Well, we hope you make the most of it. I'll definitely be down there at spring training
awesome.
At some point, hanging around the minor league camp, and I'll say hello if I do.
I appreciate that, yeah.
And we wish you the best of luck with all of your Blue Jays aspirations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That's it for episode number 47 of the Blue Jays from Away podcast. I'd like to thank Gabe Noyalis for joining us. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @JaysFromAway. Come on back soon and go Jays go.